Well, hello everybody, and welcome to an overview of the astrology of April. Now, I am only going to talk about the major energies and themes of the month of April. I do far greater detail for my Venus enchantment community. I kind of go through and include a lot more asteroids and a lot more aspects, but I am going to give you the bigger picture. Now we're just leaving March as I record this. We're on March the 30th, and April compared to March is going to be much less chaotic, shall we say. However, there's always something happening, and we are entering eclipse season. So we still are in a time of enormous change. So anyway, let's dive into the energies. But before I dive in and start and talk about the bigger themes of the month, I would ask you to subscribe to my blog, to my YouTube channel. Give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment, perhaps even share. And if you subscribe, if you check the little bell, you'll get a little notification pop up on your YouTube that whenever I upload new content, so you can come and watch it. Okay, so let's dive into April. So we start on April the 1st, just a bigger picture. I use quite a lot of asteroids, but we start with and there's some extras in here that I might not refer to. This is Proserpina and this is Persephone. So in case you're wondering. But anyway, we start the month in Aries season. April always begins with, oh, let's go to the next day. Let's go to April. Still in Aries season. We start with a big lot of energy in Aries. We've still got this kind of powerful push as we go. And as we start the month, we're heading towards the Libra full moon, which I called the Free Your Mind full moon. I did a full podcast video on that. I'll link to that at the in the cards on this video, but you can also find it if you click on videos and look for the full moon video and go in depth on that one. But we start the month with Chiron and Jupiter both combust the sun. So that means they're hidden by their light is hidden by the light of the center of our solar system, the sun that tends to kind of block out everything. And that really means that they're kind of in an underworld journey of rebirth. Chiron, the medicine man, the healer, the mentor, he's being burned off in Aries. And after the sun moves past him around 10 degrees, Chiron will be kind of reborn and ready to do his medicine work again. The same with Jupiter. Jupiter in Aries is very much ex about expansion and growth and starting projects and about really kind of figuring out who you are. And he's in an underworld journey. What did one of my friends describe it as, Laurie? This inner guru, because Jupiter is the guru. So you're getting in touch with your inner guru at the start of April and for much of April. So we also have Vesta in the sign of Aries at the start of the month. Eris in the sign of Aries. She's been there for many years, since 1928, I think, and Mercury. So we start the month with a lot of Aries energy. All right. And so it's kind of like spring ahead. Yes, I'm sorry for those in the Southern Hemisphere, but it's still Aries energy no matter where you are. So you'll still probably feel like being very active, getting out there and starting your new projects and things that you may have been putting off. Now, because I'm only going to look at the major aspects, I am going to hop straight to April the 3rd. I'm going to look at kind of key days. So on April the 3rd, Vesta will conjunct the planet Eris. And so, but on that day as well, Mercury is going to move into the sign of Taurus, and Mercury is going to square the planet Pluto and oppose Haumea. But first of all, we look at Vesta. Vesta is the sacred flame. She is your inner flame. She is focus, commitment. She's devotion. And this is devotion to personal growth, I'm going to say. This is devotion to really kind of focusing on your inner flame and what lights it up, all right? And with Eris being conjunct asteroid Vesta, this is about shaking things up a little bit. Now, as I record this, we're having the Venus Uranus conjunction, which is all about kind of liberation and saying, I'm going to be true to my values and I am going to be who I truly am. And this has that similar energy, but it has more kind of this committed energy. I'm committed to being who I am. I'm committed to being the best self I can be. And then we have this Mercury. Let's actually just move it on a little bit for you. And I am actually going to draw you a line so you can see, because I know I put a lot of things in the chart. So, oh, that's not right. Oh, my goodness. Bear with me. That's because I forgot to change to Mercury. So on April the 3rd, we're back to April the 3rd now. Now I can draw my lines. Mercury is now moving into the sign of Taurus. I've done a whole video on Mercury in Taurus. So again, you can find that on my video. That one on my timeline, that's pretty short. Mercury is going to oppose Haumea and square Pluto on the very first day he moves into the sign of Taurus. I say he's a shapeshifter. He's a non-binary character, Mercury. He's a bit of both and everything, and a trickster, likes to trick. So I'm going to do a very in-depth video on this Pluto-Haumea square. But we have multiple Pluto-Haumea squares coming up, and we did have one in 22. And I think these are going to be the defining square of the ages. And the exact square is coming up on April the 8th. So we won't actually kind of look at that exactly. Now, I'm just going to quickly give you an overview of, and I'm going to share a picture of Haumea. Because I've read, we're still learning what Haumea is about. But look at her. She's said to be cigar-shaped. Well, to me, she's an egg. and she's got this curious red spot on her side. Now, I think about physical eggs when I look at Haumea, because Haumea is the creation goddess of the pollen of Hawaii. And she is the goddess of birth and nature and rock and fire. She birthed all these things, really. And eggs often have this red spot that kind of connects the umbilical cord of the chick to the shell that's fertilized, right? So there's that, if you think about the process of birth, of gestation and connection from the mother, it's almost like Haumea is giving birth to something new. Now, I've got this book I'm going to quickly show you. It's called Starry Messengers by a British astrologer called Alison Chester Lambert. As she said, it's new planets, new goddesses, new spiritual energies. And she basically, and I agree with her, I'm just going to stop the share for a second. She basically posits that all these dwarf planets and things that are being discovered in the Kuiper Belt, and we have all the centaurs and things being discovered as well, are starry messengers that are bringing in the new paradigm. And I definitely agree with her. Now, I've also read a theory, and I can't remember, unfortunately, who said this, that Haumea is of the nature of Pluto, but with kind of without the excavation and the tower card energy of Pluto, where it's destruction so things can be rebuilt. Pluto takes away what you thought was your power and leaves you with what is truly your power. And so Haumea is pure creation and birth, but birth is kind of bloody and messy as well. And she has moved into the sign of Scorpio. this year she's actually going to retrograde back into Libra briefly. I'll be looking at that later. But then she's basically moving into Scorpio, and Pluto has just moved into Aquarius for a taster for 3 months and is going to only be in the sign of Aquarius till, is it July the 11th, I think, and will not finally move into Aquarius until November the 19th, 2024. But these Pluto-Uranus squares are kind of birthing the new paradigm to my thoughts. That's how I feel about it. Now, some interesting things about Haumea, which I'll go into more detail about. Her discovery was messy. One astronomer had said he had spotted something, but his wife had maternity leave and gave birth, which is ironic considering she's ended up being named after the planet of birth or the goddess of birth. And then some other astronomers also discovered her all at the same time. But the irony is that apparently she's very bright, Haumea. And she can be spotted with a very amateur telescope, but she was not seen till she was ready to be seen. We kind of know, astrologers know, that when planets are discovered, their energy really kind of comes into our consciousness. So she was ready to be birthed, and she was kind of first spotted in 2005. I don't think she was named till 2007 or 2006, and she's named after the goddess of Hawaii. And 2 years after that, Obama was elected, and he's from Hawaii. One other amazing kind of weird fact is that the scientists in 2008, scientists said they'd found 8 parts of Haumea scattered around the Kuiper Belt because she got hit at some point by an object, some kind of object, and they're very shiny objects. But also it's even more remarkable when we consider that there's 8 main islands of Hawaii, and in the myth, Haumea produces offspring which are formed out of her own body. So all of this is kind of, it kind of feels to me as if this Pluto Haumea square is kind of birthing out of what we've got and creating something new, but it's destructive and messy along the way. And Pluto and Haumea are working together over the next few years to birth a new paradigm. So that's all to say that it really kind of starts this month. Let's go back to sharing the chart. And Mercury is the messenger of the gods. And Mercury kind of launches this square. He moves into the sign of Taurus on April the 3rd, and then immediately squares Pluto, and then immediately squares Haumea, and the two exactly square Pluto and Haumea on April the 8th. So really all this is happening together. And Mercury is in the sign of Taurus, and right after he activates this square, he hits the North Node, which is what we're yearning to move towards, what we're longing to move towards, which is a more sustainable future. And so all of this energy is really kind of coming together. And whilst the nodes will sit at 4 degrees through eclipse season, really they're kind of in a square to this Pluto-Haumea square. And the nodes will, or the North Node is, and the South Node is going to conjunct Haumea. All this is moving towards that. So we're really in a time of birthing the new. I kind of feel like even though there's some destruction left to come, we're kind of moving out of the destruction phase into the construction phase, if you like, the birthing phase. But as I said, birthing is not always easy. Birthing can be painful. I've had 2 children, that it's hard on the body for a start, if we talk about the actual human birth. And there's things that kind of don't work the same after you've had children and things like that. It's not the easiest process, birthing, as any person who's given birth will know. So this is kind of how we start April, with this real birthing process. Incidentally, the last, bear with me, I'm just going to get the squares. I just want to give you one quick look back. The last Pluto, or the first Pluto square Haumea between the two, happened last June the 24th at the at 27 degrees of Capricorn and Libra. And so there's Haumea over there in Libra. So 27 and 27. So she's straddling this square is straddling the signs, the cardinal signs of Capricorn and Libra. Cardinal signs initiate projects. They start things. They're movable signs. They're getting things moving. But then most of the squares that we've got coming up are going to happen in the fixed signs of making things real and manifest. All right. Fixed signs like to create stability and like to make, I think of Joe Biden's slogan, I don't care whether you like him or not, I'm looking at the messages of, what was it, finding the soul of America or something and making things stable again. You kind of hear these messages in the zeitgeist. So then, we're at April the 8th. There's not a lot happens between April the 3rd and April the 8th. But on April the 8th, as we have the first exact Pluto Haumea square, Venus, in her natural sign of Taurus, incidentally, she's at 27 degrees Taurus of a Venus rule sign, and Haumea was at 27 Libra for that first square. these things always kind of ping my mind. But Venus is going to come up on April the 8th and is going to form a trine aspect to her mother, Ceres. Okay, Venus trine Ceres. And everybody knows I love me a bit of Ceres. Now, I see Venus as one of the sides of Persephone. So the Demeter Persephone story is a classic. It's a loss of innocence. It's of coming to terms and forgiveness and grief with loss of innocence. And it sounds kind of like the whole story of the fall, really, and of humanity and of coming to terms with our humanness and coming to terms with the cycles of life and death and all those things as well. Now, we look at this myth in great detail in my Venus retrograde class that is coming up in July. I'm going to be redoing the page to sign up for that class very soon. So watch for that, because I'm going to put it out there with a payment plan so people can pay for it over 3 months. But Venus is in her own sign Taurus, and Venus, as she actually trines her mother, and Ceres is in the sign of wholeness, the sign of the priestess in Virgo, and she's approaching, she's retrograde. I don't know when she turns direct, I haven't looked at that yet, but it's also near Algol, Medusa. And Algol is seen as a demon star. And, it's more, if we think about Medusa, she was really kind of again, another kind of damaged, harmed female out for revenge. So, rightful revenge, maybe. But then Pallas Athena used Medusa's head as on her shield as kind of protection. And Medusa had been punished for being raped, basically. And so it's kind of the female story again. And here's Venus on Algol. I kind of think with Venus and Pluto, Venus and Algol trine the planet Ceres, I think we're going to, and Venus is in the sign of Taurus, which is very much about the earth. And Ceres is associated with killing the harvests, or Demeter or Ceres did, they're the same goddess basically, was killed the harvest in her grief. I think there's going to be something coming up around climate change with this and about what we're doing to the earth and how we're not living in alignment with the earth. That's all to say. And it's also happening on the same day as this Pluto Haumea square. Also on this day, I mentioned Pallas Athena once already. Jupiter over here in Aries is only almost 3 degrees. The sun's catching up to Jupiter, so Jupiter's well combust the sun, being reborn under the sun. And he's the father. Jupiter, Zeus, the king of the gods in Aries, is being reborn in Aries, about us all thinking we're our own kings or gods. We are kind of are in a way. But this whole thing about sovereignty and, you know, my choice, all about me, don't think of anybody else, is being burned out by the sun. Zeus was a bit of an arrogant asshole, to be quite honest, which is Jupiter, the king of the gods. The sun is kind of saying, no, you've time to kind of chill your jets a little bit. Now, Pallas Athena was his daughter. And she was born from his head. Long story. You can look it up if you like about about Zeus and Athena and why he swallowed her mother and she was born fully dressed in armor as the wise warrior. She's the wise owl, Pallas Athena. She likes wise justice. She's a problem solver. She would go to war, but she could be really vindictive, but only if she thought it was needed and wise. She was a strategist, and she is in the sign of Cancer, which is the sign of birth and the sign of self-love and the sign of nurturing and the sign of family and the sign of the ancestors. So Jupiter, whilst being reborn under the beams of the sun, is square to his daughter Pallas Athena, who's actually, you know, kind of peregrine over there and really strong. She's kind of there saying, you know, I'm gonna kind of rebuild this basis of security, which is Cancer as well. I kind of think there's going to be a huge growth potential around this period, April the 8th. So April the 10th. Oh, I'm going far more into things than I thought I was going to. I always do. So we move to April the 10th, and Venus will be, there's a lot more Taurus action again. Venus will conjunct planet, dwarf planet Sedna at the very last degree of Taurus, the anaretic degree, the critical degree. Climate change again. Sedna has an 11,408 year orbit, and she's very much associated with cycles of climate change. And Venus in Taurus is about our relationship with the material world and the earth. I think there's going to be something big come up around this month, definitely about climate change. And I have a hope that it's kind of discoveries and potentials, right? And we are discovering new things. I read about some form of new fuel the other day, and unfortunately I can't remember what it was called, but these discoveries are coming out all the time. Then also on April the 10th, Uranus is conjunct asteroid Juno, or Juno comes up to join Uranus. And Juno was the wife of Zeus, so you can see how these things all play together in the end. And the myth isn't astrology, but it often rhymes and resonates with it. Juno is really the partnership asteroid, the marriage, sacred marriage asteroid of all opposites. Juno is a goddess. She was protectress of women and children. So we had, she is very much for women's rights, because Jupiter, Zeus, was a hound dog. But she was powerful in her own right, and she represents that real kind of sacred marriage energy of holding space for that marriage, for bringing all the opposites together, all the yin yang, the masculine, feminine, everything. And Uranus is the great awakener. So we're going to have some great awakening here. And again, it could be about our personal relationships, but it could also be about our relationship with the earth and the climate as well. So another big day. Also on April the 10th, Ceres, I mentioned, the great mother in the sign of the priestess Virgo, she is opposing Neptune. This is what I call a practically mystic kind of axis, okay? And with Neptune there, the god of the sea, and Ceres opposing, and Ceres will station direct in May, so she's not stationing direct yet. But this is kind of saying we need our direct connection with the divinity of everything, with knowing that there's divine in everything. Now, I have so much to say about that. But, you know, it's really about animism and shamanism and living in alignment with nature and connecting with nature and bringing back some of that old connection that we used to have. You know, did you know there's a theory, if you want a good book, called The Immortality Key, that psychedelics were, or shamanic practices were, the original Eucharist. Everybody could have their own direct experience of whatever the divine is. And during the age of Pisces, that was squashed. The Eleusinian Mysteries, which Ceres or Demeter was a priestess of, lasted for 2,000 years, and they were ended because the newly developed Christian church in the age of Pisces thought it was kind of heretical. So this is bringing it back, in my opinion. The next day, on April the 11th, Venus is going to ingress into the sign of Gemini. Now, at a very mundane level, Venus in Gemini is much more sociable. This is, you know, especially in the Northern Hemisphere here, it's kind of party time with Venus in Gemini. It's about social relationships, chatter, talking, gossip even, but just about, it's a lot lighter. And there's a lot, Gemini is a very mental sign because it's Mercury ruled and it's an air sign. So there's going to be a lot of talking, a lot of communication, perhaps a lot of writing, creative writing, though, with Venus in Gemini, I'm hoping, because I have started my book, but it's not flowing yet because life's been in the way, taxes and things. And as Venus enters Gemini, Venus will trine the planet Pluto, who's spending 80 days at this 0 degree this year, as we start to get a picture of what Pluto in Aquarius is going to be like. Now, Pluto was the abductor of Persephone into the underworld. So we're getting that story again. And Pluto is actually at 0 Aquarius, where Venus, Ceres and Pluto will all meet on December the 7th and 8th, 2024. So we had the Venus trine to Ceres. Now we've got the Venus trine to Pluto. We're bringing together this story of, and bringing everything back in to be united. So that's going to be an interesting trine. And also, you know, Venus is in Gemini, an air sign. Pluto's in Aquarius, an air sign. This is all about invention and ideas too. About invention and ideas about and what we desire. Venus is earthly desire. Pluto is soul's desire in one of their meanings. All right. So on April the 14th, Venus again. Venus will square Saturn. And Venus, Saturn did move into Pisces in the month of March. And on April the 14th, he's moved to 4 degrees and Venus will be at 4 Gemini. And this is a mutable square. This is getting some clarity around where you're going and what you're creating as we move forward. Venus and Saturn were together. We can quickly look. The Venus conjunction with Saturn happened on January the 22nd of this year. Now this is what's called an opening square, and it's moving us forward to creating something that perhaps began in January, or we may have had the seeds of, excuse me, the idea in January. On April the 15th, Vesta, remember, she's focus, commitment. She's the sacred flame. Vesta moves into the sign of Taurus. There we go. April the 15th, 2023, Vesta moves into the sign of Taurus. So, and now the sun is moving away from Chiron and Jupiter. Chiron is almost reborn from the beams of the sun. They're not quite 10 degrees apart. I tend to think around 10. It should be when they're actually visible from our perspective, but it's not always possible to see the outers. Other astrologers give different orbs, I think around 10. But the Vesta joins the North Node, Mercury and Uranus and Juno, Algol and Sedna in Taurus. And then we get to focus more on Taurian things, on stability, on sustainability. Okay. Now, we did have the full moon on April the 5th, 6th. I didn't mention that because we've got the separate video. We're going to kind of be on the waning moon now. So we're really diving in to what we are ready to begin on what's coming next, the big eclipse. Okay. But Vesta, this focus, commitment, devotion, I think we're going to be asked to focus and commit and devote ourselves to what we really value, what we truly value, what we want to sustain. I feel like I've been battering my head against the wall about that since the nodes came into Taurus and Scorpio last year. But it's the message reignited over and over again. And then on April the 16th, the very next day, we get Pluto square to Vesta. So you can see, and Pluto being the great transformer, death and rebirth, and Vesta being focus and commitment, and also incidentally the heart of the state, this is what change, how we're changing, how we're bringing the change in, and what we're creating in this new paradigm, very big ways. Then on April the 20th, we have the big event of the month, as if we hadn't had enough already, right? But we have what's called a solar hybrid eclipse. And I kind of looked at it and I was like, what does that mean? And apparently they're quite rare, solar hybrid eclipses. They happen maybe about every 10 years, whereas we have like usually 4 to 5 eclipses a year, solar and lunar. A hybrid eclipse is one that is total from some perspectives, and an annular, which is a ring of fire, from other perspectives. It's you know, that's why it's a hybrid, because it's a mix of eclipses. And so this new moon eclipse, and I will of course be doing a full video on this, is at 29 Aries, and the nodes are still in Scorpio, and the nodes are moving towards Scorpio, and of course the moon and sun are moving towards Taurus. So it's hybrid in signs as well, because the sun and moon are in Aries, the nodes are still in Scorpio and Taurus, and are going to be shifting soon. But also this eclipse is opposing Haumea and opposing the 29 degree Libra, excuse me, Libra star point, which was when the Sun met Venus on October the 22nd, 2022, and how Maya was conjunct that star point on October the 22nd, 22. I'll be going into huge detail on that in when I do a podcast episode for the eclipse, but know that this eclipse is huge, and an eclipse at the aneretic degree, 29 degrees, the critical degree, is a very big eclipse. This is going to bring a lot of change this year. And in Aries, it's an initiating sign, the common sign. Things are going to start moving. We're going to feel quite the surge of creation, birth, messy birthing after this eclipse, in my opinion. It's conjunct Vesta too, so you know that's the heart of the state, but of course it's the heart of every state, so it's going to be an interesting eclipse. Then on April the 21st, the very next day, Mercury will station retrograde. Now, I've also done a full video for Mercury going through Taurus that talks a lot about the retrograde, but I am going to emphasize something I said in that video, that I think this should be welcomed and embraced. There was a whole lot of excitement, and I must say, I think I posted something about it too, about all the planets going direct for 80 something days and forward movement, blah blah blah. Well, and it was, yes, things have moved. But, you know, we had that many planets changing signs, and then we had Neptune, Mars squares and all kinds of things, and Mars out of bounds. Incidentally, Mars is still out of bounds throughout the month of April. So Mars, he hasn't made many major aspects, but he's in the sign of Cancer, and he's birthing something new, and he's still causing some mayhem, to be quite honest. He won't be back in bounds until May the 4th or 5th, depending where you live. But Mercury is going to slow things down. And this is going to go, just slow your jets, reflect, review. What's shifting? We've had all these planets change signs, the three big ones being Pluto, Saturn and Mars, all in March. But, you know, we've had all that chaos that was March as well. Cool your jets, slow it down, do all the rewords, rethink, revisit, reflect. Oh, you know, you can think of a million rewords. I like Mercury retrogrades. I think they're part of the way the world should be. This is why we have three or four for a year. All the Mercury retrogrades are in Earth signs this year, which will... Mercury retrogrades do cause some disruption. I kind of find that when they're in water signs, they cause water disruptions. Earth signs, they cause earth disruptions. Air signs, it's often more the communication and things. But they have a purpose. So please, please, please embrace the Mercury retrograde. I tend to find that Mercury retrograde issues, like vehicle issues, communication, things like that, really happen when we don't slow down and when we don't redo and rethink and triple check things and stuff. Enjoy the Mercury retrograde. Enjoy this like ease of slowing down, going back within, and just kind of like, well, where, what happened? What happened in March and early April? Go, oh yeah, this is what I need to reflect upon now. And then after Mars turns, after Mercury turns direct, which is on May the 14th, you know, you'll be ready to actually kind of settle into all what was churned up in all the chaos. Okay. On April the 23rd, Jupiter will be conjunct the planet Eris. There could be some big disruption there. Jupiter has a 12-year cycle. So, you know, he's not in Aries every year. But he does meet Eris every 12 years or so. But remember as well that Jupiter, oh, by the way, happy Taurus season, because the sun will have moved into Taurus by that point. The sun, oh, do I not have my ingress points? Well, it would be the day after the eclipse. April the 21st, we have Taurus season begins. The Aries energy chills. The sun has moved way beyond Chiron. Chiron's reborn. Jupiter's still just under the beams. But Jupiter meets Eris, and that's likely to tear down some picket fences, especially after Jupiter does emerge from, or move, when the sun moves more than 10 degrees away, which is probably like the next day or the day after. And Jupiter's kind of going to come out of there and going, I've been kind of schooled a little bit, all right? I've been schooled for being an arrogant asshole, if you like, and thinking that my sovereignty is all that matters. And, you know, that there's all this tendency to gaslight and say, well, you're choosing to be offended and all this kind of stuff. That's very Jupiterian at his shadow. Whereas we're moving into a time, I believe, of actual interconnectedness and understanding of each other and realizing we have to consider others. You know, quantum physics proves that, you know, if I kind of clap my hands, yes, it kind of sends waves out. So bigger kind of things send bigger waves out. So anyway, I think Eris is going to shake that up a bit, because Eris represents anger about the outsiders being marginalized and left out, because she was marginalized and left out, and she got a bit angry and a little bit vengeful. Some people describe her as hate, and I guess she can be a bit hateful, but she's kind of like angry because she was left out. So, you know, don't leave people out in society. I'm not saying you have to have everybody in your home. We finished the month, really. With one other thing I'm going to talk about is asteroid Lilith is going to station direct. Now, asteroid Lilith is the original female. She was the one made from dust at the same time as Adam in the myth. I kind of see Black Moon Lilith as the scorned Lilith, the pushed out Lilith. I call asteroid Lilith the talk to the hand Lilith. Okay, and her symbol looks like a hand. And Lilith stations direct on April the 26th at 10 degrees, 11 minutes Virgo. And it's all the ones, new beginnings, all right, in the sign of the priestess Virgo, in the sign of wholeness, one who is whole unto herself. I think she is saying it's talk to the hand. We're done. We are going to create something new. So that's a really nice way to end the month. Now, if you want more details and a much more detailed forecast, I actually kind of went into more detail than I normally would for this. Please join my Venus Enchantment community. If you're not ready to join that at $23 a month, look for my class coming up, my Venus retrograde class, which honestly is life-changing. Venus gave me the class. I can't say it's me. I just follow what kind of nudges Venus gives me to teach in the class. Previously, we followed Inanna's journey into the underworld, and I'm sure I'll mention that again, but there's going to be a much bigger focus on this particular class. So I've been getting the messages on the journey of Demeter, Persephone, and Hades, and kind of the Eleusinian mysteries. So I'm quite excited to have that shift that's come to me since the last time I did the class. I've been running them every Venus retrograde since 2017 now. The other thing, though, is I also have a Substack newsletter where I post my daily posts. I'm trying to get a little bit off social media, and Substack is kind of a newsletter app where I can post my posts and people can comment, but we don't have to be friends. It's not kind of social media. It's more kind of a blogging kind of platform in a way. But not quite that too. But I love Substack, to be quite honest. So that's an option too. And you can find all of those in their show notes. And on that note, happy April. Happy start of eclipse season. Happy start of big growth and change and birth. And I'm actually kind of just going to leave you with that picture of Haumea again, which incidentally, she has two moons and she has rings. Which planets have rings? She turns end to end every 4 hours. She's the most unusual object. And I think it kind of reflects how we're moving into a very unusual age that we've never been in before. So much love to you all, and I will see you next time.